Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The finding pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever he turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Also, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in the first couple of verses, it is an interesting set there, that first two verses, where Solomon says, appearances are not often what they seem to be or what they ought to be, right? Notice, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. You walk into the house and you see a cupboard fully stocked, and you think, what a blessed house. Solomon says, if it's a house filled with strife, it's not a blessed house. It may appear to be a blessed house, but it's not. You walk into another house, you open the cupboard, and there's a little dry morsel on the shelf. And you think, oh, these poor people, and yet these poor people that neither murmur nor complain, where there's no strife in the house, they are actually better off than the full house where strife was. So notice there then that things are not always what they appear to be. Notice the next one. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Doesn't seem that way. Oh, that poor servant, look, he has no inheritance. Maybe not. Maybe not so. A wise servant will be accounted a son in due time, perhaps. In fact, a little bit later on, Solomon is going to say that if a servant is raised in the bosom of his master, that he will make him his son at his length. At length. In other words, he will adopt him and make him an heir. Okay? So, again, as we talked earlier today about servanthood, it's not as negative a thing as people make it out to be. It doesn't have to be, certainly. Alright, so notice then in 3 and 4, watch in judging by appearances only, the finding pot for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Okay, so there is an inward trial that is going on. And then notice that wicked doer, what does he do? He gives heed to false lips, and the liar gives his ear to a naughty tongue. Okay, so you can reason from the reverse there, right? It's sad, but it's true. If we're giving our ear to that which is naughty, what does Solomon say we are? A liar, right? If we're giving our heed to false lips, well, that's what a wicked doer does. So, very important there that when you read a proverb like that, you reason it one way and you reason it back the other way as well. All right, so then verse 5, care, compassion to those who are perhaps met with difficult providence. Notice it's a sin to mock the poor. He's created in the image of God like you are. To mock him is to mock God. It is also to reproach God for his providence. So be careful there. Then notice children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children, is that how you feel about your parents and your grandparents? That they're your glory? That they're your boasting? Well, you should. That's what Solomon says here. And notice that they are the crown of old men, right? This is what happens when the Lord would give rewards, in other words. This is a good thing to have. Children are not so very much thought of like that today. They're thought of as bothers and expensive and cramping my style and keeping me from actualizing myself. But that's not what the Bible says at all. Okay, so then, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. That's a synthetic proverb, right? Both things. And notice we're reasoning by way of opposites there, by way of incompatibility, by way of something that is jarring, right? You don't expect to find wisdom in the mouth of a fool. May I ask then, why would we go there to get it? Right? Yeah, you've heard me say this before. We're sick, we go to a doctor. We have legal troubles, we go to a lawyer. Our car goes queep and quit, we go to a mechanic, right? We spring a leak under the sink, we call a plumber. We have a problem in our soul, and Oprah and Dr. Phil are consulted. What is that about? You wouldn't expect to find wisdom in the mouth of fools, would you? Okay. All right, so then, he that covereth transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. A little more on words there, but this in a very particular way. If you see someone, if you behold someone involved in something that is not flattering to them, here's Solomon's counsel. Be quiet about it. You don't need to bring it up to anybody else. Nobody else needs to hear it. If you see someone in a compromised or unflattering, sinful act, if you must say something to them. Go directly to them. Be of service to them if you can. Right? And if you're an offended party by someone else, you must remember that there's a greater temptation then to make that sin known, to seek commiseration from others, rather than simply to keep it quiet, to talk to the person, and to keep it between you two. Remember Matthew 18, and I've said this before, I don't mind repeating myself at all. If we obeyed the strictures of Matthew 18 in dealing with one another, at level one, if your brother offends you, go and talk to him, and if he receives you, you've gained your brother, that would take care of 98% of all controversy. If we did that with faith and with love and with care, one for another. I'm pretty convinced of that. But instead, we don't. We trot it out. We try to get commiseration from others. And then we separate very friends. That's what Solomon says. Okay? So let's be careful there. How we use our words. Okay. Verse 10 is especially difficult, isn't it? A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A wise man can be brought to heel, can be brought to repentance, can be brought to righteousness, can be brought to obedience simply by a verbal correction. Brother, sister, you know that's wrong. But a fool, 100 stripes won't do the same work in him. Of course, this is fodder for self-examination, isn't it? Does a correction correct us? Because if a correction doesn't do it, perhaps 100 stripes won't either. And what does that say about us? Difficult. And yet we must take heed to how we receive correction. And we've seen this before in our chapter readings. Okay, so notice there is a rewarding evil for good. So evil shall not depart from his house. This is that thing that we see in the Psalms very often, that the pit that the wicked lay, they often fall in it themselves. There is this sage kind of justice with God. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. If you want to understand more about the letting out of water, call someone that lives in Oklahoma or Nebraska these days. They'll tell you about what letting out of water truly is like. I've got a funny little story that I've told you before, I think, on that. We had a pool in our backyard, one of those above-ground pools with a plastic liner. And we had a dog during the summer that dug underneath there because it was cool. And in his digging, he had made this little teeny pinhole down there at the bottom. And I thought, well, I'll get in the pool and I'll kind of see if I could patch that. And you know what happened. It only got worse. And so I stood up because that thing went like that. And I stood up and I watched the water go like that. Thankfully, it didn't come in the house. But what happens when you let out water? Can you really stop it? That's what contention is like, Solomon says. You know you can't stop water. So don't then start contention either. Isn't that the point he's making? Of course it is. All right, well, there's so many other things here that could be said. Let's talk about friends and their worth. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Certainly, we've all had those who've come alongside us in time of trouble, and we've known those comforts. Let's be that kind of comfort to others as well. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Well, this is as much an encouragement to proper parenting as it is to proper childering, right? Be good children and good parents here. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Can't be satisfied with wisdom. He's looking everywhere. So there's a lack of contentment there that accompanies the foolish. All right, well, we got to wrap it up here. Let's see our six things that we have as high points or emphasis in this chapter. First of all, we are encouraged here to perceive according to the truth and real value of things rather than to judge by custom or appearance. I think that's very wise counsel from Solomon. Second, evil associations are seen for what they are, an excuse to continue in evil. Right? Break off the evil associations and the evil that accompanies them. Third, the tongue, again the tongue, the lips, the mouth are placed under scrutiny. Again, chapter by chapter by chapter, how we use our words over and again. You think Solomon's trying to make a point? Of course he is. Fourth, justice must be according to the word of the Lord and not according to the unjust of the earth. And so everyone comes under the purview of God there. Fifth, the effects of our sin and grief caused to others is brought to remembrance. This is an important point that we often forget, right? If we sin, it is very, very seldom, if ever at all, an effect, a negative effect had upon ourselves only. It always has an effect upon those around us, or at least almost always. We remember in ancient Israel when Achan sinned and 37 men died in Israel for his sin. We associate in this church with one another, and if one of us sins, we have really no idea the effect that it might have on others. If we allow ourselves to go on in sin and that twists or changes the way we interact with one another, perhaps by way of irritability or some other thing, because we have not confessed and forsaken our sins, we affect one another. Okay, and this is how we read in this chapter where we hear about the sins of children affecting their parents and so on. So this is brought again for our thought. And then six, upright associations are also encouraged, and having friends that truly love according to the Scripture. Very important there. All right, well, with those six things, then let's stand and continue praising.